Welcome to More Midrash. I'm Rabbi Jay Levine. In Parshat Miketz, the brothers of Joseph meet their estranged sibling, although they don't know that it's him. All they see is an Egyptian. And the Midrash I'm going to look at, which is Bereishit Rabbah 91:7, has a number of, it has six different Midrashim within it. And it's not entirely clear to me why this is all grouped as one midrashic unit and why it isn't broken out into different versions, but that's okay. I'm just going to focus on two of them. So Genesis 42:8 says that Joseph recognized his brothers. 42:6 says Joseph saw his brothers and he recognized them. And then 42:8 says Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. So it repeats it. It makes very clear that Joseph knows exactly who these people are and that his brothers don't recognize him. So in the Midrash, Rabbi Levi and the rabbis in general have a few different ideas for how we're supposed to understand this. Rabbi Levi says, at the time that Joseph's brothers fell into his hands, Joseph recognized his brothers. At the time that he fell into their hands, they did not recognize him. And the rabbis say, Joseph, because he left them bearing the mark of a beard, recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him because they did not leave him bearing the mark of a beard. So I'm going to start with the second opinion first. The rabbis have a very plain sense understanding of why Joseph is so unrecognizable while he can instantly tell they are his brothers. And it's simply that when he was really young when they cast him into the pit, and he didn't have a beard yet. He hadn't fully matured. And now he has a beard, and so he's, for all intents and purposes, incognito. Now, this glosses over, of course, the fact that Joseph was probably dressed in the style of Egyptians, and he was speaking in Egyptian. It later says he has a translator. So the larger sense of why he was so unrecognizable is they weren't looking for Joseph, and they wouldn't have expected him to look so Egyptian. But anyway, it says that he now has a beard, and didn't, whereas his brothers, who are much older than him, had beards at the time that he last saw them, and so he knows exactly what they look like. All right, so that, it's interesting. You might have some something to say around maturity and what it means to grow a beard. But I'm more interested in the first interpretation from Rabbi Levi, who says that when Joseph's brothers fell into his hands, Joseph recognized them, but when he fell into their hands, they did not recognize him. And because we know that they're very aware that it's Joseph that they're throwing in the pit, there has to be something more to what it means to recognize someone. And we know that eventually, although Joseph is going to put his brothers through a series of trials and a great deal of anguish, that at the end of it, Joseph welcomes his brothers back into his life and, in fact, saves his whole family from famine. So it seems like Joseph recognizes the humanity in his brothers. He recognizes their brotherness. He recognizes that they are people in need. And it's possible that he recognizes them as people with good points within, even though they did cause him a lot of suffering when he was younger. Now, they didn't recognize him, even though they knew who he was, because they failed to recognize him as their brother, as someone worthy of dignity, as someone who really shouldn't be killed or thrown into a pit or sold into slavery. So Rabbi Levi's point is, when someone is vulnerable and you have power over them, how are you going to recognize these people? Are you going to see them as pawns, as the enemy, as the other? Or are you going to see them as a brother or sister, as someone intrinsically connected to you who's worthy of care? The second piece of this midrash that I want to share focuses on one statement that the brothers say. So I'm going to read a little bit of the biblical text. They have gotten into a conversation, and Joseph remembers that they've dreamed dreams, that he dreamed dreams, and he says to them, "You are spies. To see the land's nakedness have you come?" They answered him, "Not so, my lord, for your servants have come to buy food. All of us, sons of one man, are we." So the Midrash focuses on this phrase that the brothers say, "All of us, sons of one man, are we." Now, contextually, the 10 brothers who have come are talking about themselves to this strange Egyptian official who is accusing them of being spies. So they're insisting, "No, we're not spies, we're brothers. That's why we're hanging out so much." But the Midrash says that the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, flickered in them. Nitznitza, flickered, or sparked. When they said, "Sons of one man are we." And the way that Midrash understands this is that Ruach HaKodesh is what rests on you when you prophesy. So this isn't a big prophecy that the brothers have. It's just a little flicker, a little spark, nitznitza. But they accidentally tell a bigger truth than they intended. What they mean is we 10 people are brothers. But what they say in truth is that we and you, this Egyptian official, that the unbeknownst to them is Joseph, the 11 of us are sons of one man. And so they don't even realize that they are including him in that we. And I love this image of the Ruach HaKodesh flickering in us, and wonder how many times we say something that has a little truth, but might also be participating in or pointing towards a bigger truth, a bigger sense of connection and insight and story. So I'm going to pause there for this week and hope that you, as we trail off into the end of Hanukkah, feel the world becoming brighter, and that that light is visible in the world outside and also in your inner heart, flickering with a little bit of the Holy Spirit. Join me next week for more Midrash. I'm Rabbi Jay Levine, serving the wonderful community of Temple Isaiah in Lafayette, California. I want to thank the enthusiastic and insightful attendees of my Midrash class who sharpen my thinking and lift my spirits. If you want to share your thoughts on the content or format of this podcast, which is currently in beta testing mode, please send an email to rabbijlevine@gmail.com. And if you love it already and you'd like to add a 5-star review on iTunes, I'd be very grateful. Next week, there'll be more Midrash.